in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambo. I'm the host of this program. If you have newcomers, spread the word. And if you do come on to TalkStream Live, TalkStreamLive.com. It can reach my show under Thomas Gambo. And then they choose my picture or the bar at the right-hand side. Hit the bar. And you don't have to come into the site by hitting the picture. But you hit the bar, you still get a media player shows up or should. Then you can listen to it there from TalkStream Live. Or you want to come into my website, you can hit the picture and you come on into the website also. Do both. And I have a 24-hour loop on my website. But certainly hit that bar. Then you can delete the, or you can just cross out the media player and just go into my site and then listen from then on, or whatever you want to do, either one. There's two ways of doing it. Family, I want to continue on with racism and feminism as the major weapon that they're using against Americans right now. Americans don't even know it. It started, the use of racism as a weapon began in the 1600s. Well, actually, it began in 1492. You got to understand that the reality of this conspiracy that we're under worldwide is so controlled, so contrived, so set up that it boggles the mind. It can. That's why people don't get into it deeply. And it upsets all your core beliefs. Prison Planet, yeah. There's no question about that. And because we're so divided up, people have a hard time understanding this true conspiracy. and its origin. So there's different layers of the onion in which they go. They can never go to the next layer. If they do find one layer is, oh, there's more to it, and go to the next layer, there's always a layer they stop. They don't drive to the heart of the onion. They don't peel away the entire onion till there's no more onion. I personally believe in peeling away to where the onion just disappears. That's my own philosophy, if you want to call it that. I want to go down to the deepest. I don't stop to where everybody else stops. I don't see doing that. I think that's useless. I think to go and completely dissect the onion to the very middle till there's no more onion left. Did you peel away all the layers? You can't peel no more. No matter what anybody says. No matter what the status quo says or what they say, I want to know the truth. That's me. Yeah, what it's worth. But we're taught in a core beliefs. Depends on your religion, your politics, your philosophy, what you're taught in school. You're taught to stop at a certain layer. You can't go another layer. Do not go. Why? Well, just don't. Why? We're not supposed to. I ask you why. Well, it's always been done this way. So what? If you can't tell me why, I'm going to find out why myself. But people stop at that. It's always been done this way. Oh, okay. That's worthless. That's why we're in the trouble that we're in. The one truth that you have is from God. And that truth is the King James Bible. That's the center of the onion. That's when the onion disappears. No more onion. The King James Bible tells you what's going to happen. It tells you who's doing it. Tells you why and how you're going to get out of it. Unfortunately, it takes punishment. It takes judgment. It takes severe consequences to get our attention, unfortunately. But that seems to be what happens. I'm going to talk about numerous subjects today. I'm going to open up that onion, peel away as many layers as I can in a 2-hour period. And tomorrow, and the next day, and as long as I'm doing the broadcast. I'm going to continue on. I won't stop peeling away the onions. Sometimes peeling away the onions bring tears, don't it? Using some hyperbole here. But I just see wiping away the tears and keep on going. Don't stop because tears are coming out. Keep going. Well, the final resting place is about God. It's about Jesus Christ and your salvation for eternity. When you reach eternity, when you reach that point of being born again, the onion no longer is there. And the tears are no longer falling. But you got to stay with it until the end. I don't see it as an end. I see it as a beginning. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now and talk about some various subjects. Things going on you're going to find interesting, I do believe, that has a lot to do with the United States. Yeah. Not just local, but if it's local here, you know that it could be exaggerated other places. I'll explain here shortly. Family, on your trek to discover the truth, you're going to have interruptions, distractions, misdirections. And the closer you get to the truth, the more they're going to increase. That means that you're on to something. That means dig in and keep pushing. The more resistance you get means the closer you're getting to the end of the onion. That means you just dig harder. I don't mean you stop. That means you keep digging. You keep pushing. And when you can't push anymore, you ask for supernatural help from the Holy Spirit. And keep pushing for truth. And never stop. The rest comes in the end of the battle is your eternal salvation. This is what everyone, and everyone that's died, is either in heaven or hell. Everyone on the face of this planet since the day this planet was created will go through one of two judgments. There's no escaping it. Right now, people are trying to find ways to escape. It depends what level of the onion they are. How to bring back the Republic. They have no idea. They mean well, those that want to bring back America like it was and Christmas and Easter and I don't know, whatever else. They mean well, they really do, but they don't understand the big picture and the deeper levels of the onion. Others, they try to deter you and say, oh, they're getting close to the secret society secrets. We got to deter them. So they try to shill you. Shinkle you or whatever. But they don't understand the full impact either because they will be targeted. They're just being lied to by the higher level Freemasons or the Pizzahal level Order of the Garter, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, all these lodges, organizations, movements, committees. All that is to distract you and divide you up. And boy, it works perfectly. You can't say a word to the Crips and the Bloods and MS-13 and the street gangs because we have them ourselves. It's called Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Librarians, Club, Elks Lodge, Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta. I don't know. Just pick a club. You belong to the club. You're a Baptist, a President, a Presbyterian, a Methodist. You won't never leave the Methodist. You do everything the Methodists do. You don't do what the Presbyterians do. We don't do what they do. We do what Methodists do. You see, we're Catholic. We don't do what the Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Crips and Bloods. We don't do what those other organizations do. Or we don't sign that petition because that belongs to a Baptist. We don't sign that petition because it belongs to a Hindu. Oh, the Hindu. Oh, yeah, you got Hindu. You got charisma, charisma. Whoo, yoga. And I'm not talking about Yoga Berra. You know, everybody's got an organization, a movement to keep you divided and separate from each other. Whatever it takes. She's a feminist and she's not. You got it? You see how it works? He's homosexual, he's not. We don't go around homosexuals. Well, I'm a transgender. I don't like neither one of you. You see what they've done to us all? And then you get with the militia, the Rambos that goes on, and I don't look down on them. I can't say a word about it. You got some heroes there. You got some good, honest people there. You got those who want to fight for freedom, you know, and live out in the woods. They want to do this and do that. And then those that's liberal, they look down upon them, you see. And liberals look at the Rambo types as warmongers. Well, I got news for you. All of you I've mentioned, every single group I've mentioned, and those I haven't mentioned, you have, all of you, have the same enemy. And you don't realize it. That's keeping you all fighting each other. Keeping you all divided. In every way possible. So the ones that say we're going to fight this thing, there's more of us than them. Really? Do tell. Have you done a tally, really? Have you done a head count? Well, I've just now divided for you. More of us than them. I've already told you the divisions. They've got you already. And at 26 suicides per day, 26 minimum, maybe 22 per day to 26 per day is maximum, of our veterans per day. Family, don't anybody. You got Paul Rykoff up there in D.C. who works for the enemy. He works for, he's running a organization, a committee to help the veterans. Really? How come it's increasing since 6 years? How come he works for the enemy, the Council of Foreign Relations, and he's working for the vets too? Really? How's that work? That should give you warm fuzzies. Paid off and sold his soul to the devil is what he did. And you want him to work it for you? How come you veterans aren't demanding he be replaced? The suicides have increased per average. And he works for the Council of Foreign Relations openly. He works for the enemy. in your behalf. Nobody's demanding his resignation. Put someone there that's truthful and honest and working for the veterans. And to find out the truth of how these suicides per day are being orchestrated, planned out, and done by technology. 80% of the veteran suicides, 80% of them, the total number, haven't seen combat. Oh, 60% have never been deployed. There's a problem there. What about post-traumatic stress? How does that work when you've never been to combat? Nobody's asking these questions and making a big deal out of it in Congress. Because the Joint Chief of Staff are dirty. And the ones that's not dirty, that just go along with the boys, are cowards. Because they won't speak out against the second or third star general. Because they'll lose their job. They'll be sent to some long lost post counting ping pong balls in special services. Or forced to retire because they're not going along with the big boys. With the Knights of Malta. The Council of Foreign Relations is briefed by the Joint Chief of Staff. The Joint Chief of Staff, our head honchos, work with the Illuminati, Council of Foreign Relations. Nobody's making a stink about it. Now, why is Ron Paul talking about it? How come they allow 290-plus foreign trade zones in America to exist? That's sovereign Chinese territory. And yet we're going to war with China? Oh, yeah, okay. That really makes a lot of sense. Let's dedicate the broadcast. The absurdity of it all, and everybody just letting it go, man, just sitting there doing, playing golf or watching cars go around the track for 500 laps. Whoopee, that's a lot of fun. And playing your fantasy football. I can't wait till the next time. When football season's over, you're heading toward baseball. Baseball, you're getting ready for football. They keep you all busy, 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 busy while they're planning to kill your children and Oregon with child euthanasia being authorized through the government. And y'all just sitting there watching cars go around in circles or playing stupid golf or watching somebody play golf and then you do whatever while they're getting ready to kill your children and let your children kill themselves and you can't stop it. I think that's important, but, you know. Oh, Oregon's setting it up. They are. Child euthanasia. Hook it up to the health care bill. So your old family, your old grandmother and old grandfather, they can kill themselves too if they don't like living anymore. Sayonara, right? Is that what it's all about? Why everybody just sits being tied up and busy, watching TV and all this stuff. Doing the rah, rah, rah stuff in the tea party and patting each other on the back and doing high fives. And we got to stop this problem. We got to solve this problem. We got to do better. And everybody just goes home and that's it. Nobody does anything. March a little bit downtown carrying signs. Go home, home. Blah, 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 whatever. Nobody does a darn thing. March is over. They've got your faces and put up. They've maybe instigated a couple of riots, no big deal. Justify martial law, because you're all out there and nobody identifies those nasty guys inside put in there that are former police officers or hired to be there, like in Ferguson. Nobody saying a word. Just like those monkeys looking for that banana getting swept off the platform with cold water. Five more new monkeys come on and nobody goes for it. Let's dedicate the broadcast, family. Let's go with it. Lord, we thank you today for bringing us together in this broadcast we have, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we call upon you today, and we dedicate this broadcast to you, Lord, in your name. We dedicate it, Father, because we want to get the word out. And we, Father, we depend on the Holy Spirit, Father, touch us all. We do this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins, we may have eternal life. Father, we do spread upon us the whole armor of God Father, protect us from that influence from the outside. To guide us along, Father, to give us divine appointments that, Lord, we can spread the gospel to others. That, Father, we can put together, connect the dots of what's really going on in this world. And then to give us the opportunity through divine appointments, Lord, that we can spread that truth. And that through your Holy Spirit, that truth gets spread from one to the other to the other. We pray today, Father, for wisdom, discernment. To get through today, to get through this week. To give us the opportunities, Lord, to make a difference in people's lives. And, Lord, to keep our own life on track. And, Father, we thank you for the conviction that you give us when we fall away. When we go our own path, our own direction, and sometimes we get lost on it, that you will convict us in our hearts of the slipping off the path, put us back on track. We thank you, Lord, for the chastisements you give us. It keeps us mindful of what our responsibilities are and where the truth really lies. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word, the King James Bible. Lord, it guides us and keeps us, and it's the final authority. But, Lord, the attack on the Bible and the King James has begun and increased in intensity. Lord, give us that opportunity in words that we can defend the truth in that Bible. Father, we call upon you to protect our veterans through this mind control that they're going through, the psychotropic drugs that's causing their minds to break down. Lord, to silence the voices in their heads that they're having, the ones that's targeted by this technology that's being used. We pray, Father, for the children. We pray again, Father, protect them from the sacrifices that they're going through, the sacrifices that the Wicca, from kidnapped children, Lord, the Wicca and the highest level of governments, killing children in the tens of thousands. Lord, we call upon you to close down these Wicca cults, close down these satanic groups, and close down those portals and destroy the technology. Tear away their curses and their spells. And, Father, expose those in the highest level of government who's involved in these things, Lord. And the monarchies. Expose for what it really is. And, Father, to expose those fallen angels, to take away their disguises, to cause their disguises and their illusions to fail. And, Father, to use that Holy Spirit to bring us all together. Father, to give courage. To bring those watchmen, those pastors and preachers with courage, to bring them up to start preaching out the truth and give them the opportunity and the voices and the audiences that, Lord, they can spread the truth and then have it spread like wildfire, Father, and the anointing. All these things we pray, Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My typical self, I've learned in my life, and sometimes it's been good, and a lot of times it's not been good, is I don't follow the status quo, never have. It's cost me, but it's my nature. I just never have. I'm totally, completely independent thinking. The Marine Corps, for me, was a challenge. Almost didn't make it in officer training because of my rebellious attitude. It's just my nature. Always has been. My rebellious nature stops at Jesus Christ. That for me was a test. It was a change of life. The old me comes out on occasion, but I feel conviction when it does. I can't live a double life. Sometimes I slip. I try to keep from it. That conviction keeps you going. and conviction is not a bad thing. Osteen would tell you different. Joyce Myers and the rest of them. But then they are Freemasons, so you would expect that. And they lie to other Freemasons, lead them down the wrong path of prosperity preaching, and that we all should be rich and abundance and all this and all that and have 3-car garages. Wrong. Big time wrong. Most of the preachers and pastors and evangelists in the TV today, most all of them nowadays, with the exception of David Wilkerson, and they murdered him because he would not bow down. But all the rest of them, from Billy Graham all the way down, Freemasons and Jesuits, and they're changing into the New Age movement to accept the Messiah, the Christ, but not Jesus. Oh, there's a big difference there. Christ is a generic word for Messiah. Jesus Christ is Jesus the Messiah. Not Yeshua, not Yahweh, not Yahuwah, whatever. Can't even pronounce the darn word unless you speak Hebrew. The day of bringing the Hebrew language back is coming. And the real Hebrews, the real Israelites, to back to Jerusalem, you don't have them there today. There's going to be a 3/4 changeover. But that's called the end times events. 144,000, which they've been trying to find for generations and generations to annihilate them, but they'll never do it. They've been scattered. They're going to be brought back together. There's nothing they can do to stop it. The real bloodline Hebrews. But us Gentiles, you're also grafted in. We're all equal now because of the new covenant. But for all. The infiltration has been within the churches, the religions, politics, controlling you by finances, convoluted science that to keep changing theories every 10 years can never make up their minds, and different ways to pull you all apart. Now, we can't talk about all the ways they've been pulling us apart. We'd be here for hours, almost on a marathon broadcast. We all don't have time for that, do we? So, I have to focus on at least 2 major ones and up to date. That's where racism and feminism come into play. I talked about this all week so far, and actually some last week. And I was still, if I talk about the rest of the week, which I just may do it, I'll still not cover it all. What they've done, since the day this country was infiltrated by immigrants, and you know when that began? The 10th century. You got to understand that this conspiracy goes back with genetic bloodlines all the way back to the pharaohs of Egypt that migrated to Europe. And to keep continuing on for a world government that Nimrod was going to set up. This is where racism comes from. And Freemasonry, everything. You see, God has been in the forerunner all along. To keep the supernatural from bringing in a new world order. Don't you know that Satan would have a long time ago? He tried it in the Garden of Eden. It failed. That brought the flood. They tried to destroy the DNA, but they didn't have computers and all that, so they had to integrate the DNA, copulate, the fallen angels, DNA, and they weren't the sons of Seth. If you've got a preacher, pastor, evangelist, or scientist that says that the sons of God of the Old Testament were the sons of Seth, send him my way. It's not a problem. And I don't give a hoot. It's a doctor from Harvard. They have no leg to stand on except their credentials, and they can be destroyed with facts from the Bible. They're trying to hide it. The sons of God of the Old Testament were the fallen angels. Racism is a major weapon that they're using against us. It always has been. Man has continually been used as a minion by Satan and the fallen angels to bring about a new world order. But first, they had to create division to have you fight. And you get tired of what? Fighting. Order out of chaos. They present the chaos. You get tired of the chaos, don't you? Oh, but we have the order for you. You see how it works? It's always been this way. Always. Every single war you can name. Everything has been part of this. So the whole idea was to, for the supernatural, for Satan, the fallen angels, to go back to heaven for that war once again, or to take over the earth. Atlantis was an attempt. Lemuria, Atlantis, the Lemurians, the Atlanteans. Even Satan has the fallen angels divided up in their own pride, ego, and knowledge. Even the fallen angels are divided up into different cult groups. Oh, this is deep. It's really deep. The first attempt was Satan. I'm heading toward racism. I'm getting there, y'all. But I like to explain it, to lay the groundwork. Oh, we could talk racism in Ferguson and stop there. That's the first layer of the onion. And just stop there. Discuss how we should get together and whites and blacks and all this. But you got to find the roots of it to understand who's pushing the buttons. Because the buttons are being pushed there by design. The Freemasons, the Boulay Society, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, Freemason cops are pushing the button down there. Then you got the captains and the leaders that are part of Freemasonry. And the blacks and the whites work together at the Freemason side. You understand this? The Jesuits. Then you go past that to the Illuminati's agenda. You got to go to the root of it. Otherwise, we'll sit here and talk about racism in Ferguson, and that's as far as you're going to get. You're not finding about the people that's orchestrating it, instigating it. The false flag of Ferguson, false flag of Bundy, false flag of Sandy Hook, they're all false flags. Let me put it like this. In more scientific terms, out of Tavistock, Tavistock behavioral think tank in London, that controls our culture. It's called the, when I talked about those monkeys, remember yesterday about the banana, the monkeys, the water and all that? It's mass manipulation. It's racism. And there's a science to it. They create a crisis. They have the Fabian Society, the Tavistock, the high-level Freemasons. Lower-level Freemasons don't have a clue. See, the science of mass manipulation through crisis creation is linked up to the Hegelian dialectic. They present you the problem. They already have the solution. But they create the problem, results in a reaction. They've got the solution, and they do this in decades, decades, and decades. This is what controls you, controls us. Rockefeller said in August of 1912, now remember, this goes from one generation to the next. They plan generations ahead. If I was an Illuminati member, I would plan two generations knowing that my great-great-great-grandson later is going to follow through with this. You understand how deep this goes. I just don't plan 20 years so I can see it. No. They plan two or three generations ahead. They know they may never see it, but they know their great-grandson, great-great-great-grandson, will be the one to carry through with this agenda in fruition. You see this? These are facts, I'm telling you. This is not theory. They lead them up from the day 5 years old to six. They start training them for that generation's agenda. And so forth. It's unbelievable. But it's a fact. They bring other children. When they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, they bring children they've kidnapped or cultivated in their own little sick way. and they kill those children, they'll take a young girl, and I know this for a fact. Savali and several others have come through with this, and I've did research. It's all confirmed. In some cases, they've taken, like, here's the little Illuminati, little pagans, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, maybe 10 or 12 at a time. And they'll bring one of the captured, kidnapped, or cultivated children that are not bloodline. And they'll take a young girl, family, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, scared to death, and there'll be a cage of these animals, dogs, that are hungry. And they'll throw that girl in the cage. And the dog will tear her apart. You understand what I'm saying? Blood everywhere. They will sacrifice a child in front of them to find out which one of their little pagan children, when their education starts at 5 years old, they will watch this child be sacrificed to see who is squeamish and who's not. You understand how evil this is? They're missing. They miss every year between 500,000 kids. 700,000 are missing, give or take. Different numbers in between that 700,000 figure, of which 500,000 are never accounted for, ever. 200,000 are accounted for in various different ways, not to go into details. But 500,000 children, at least per year, are missing, never accounted for. This is the world. You don't think God is not going to bring judgment down upon this earth of human beings that's doing this? Man, you got another thing coming. Let me tell you what. And these are your kings and queens, CEOs, presidents, commanders of military forces of everyone in the world. All of them. Secret societies are part of this. They talk that they're Christian. They talk about on the TV and all that. But behind the scenes, they wear the robes. They do the sacrifices. They do the rituals. That's their real lives. Buchanan and Clinton, and the whole dadgum lot of them. The Wicca, witchcraft. Man, some of the president's wives have been into witchcraft. Lincoln's wife, Todd, evil, man. Woo, Bush's wife, all these. They consult astrology. There's something to that. When they consult astrology, that's witchcraft. But they pretend to the public to be okay. Well, they're not okay. Your stars, your actresses, actors, they sound literally, they have an implement, some kind of writing implement, literally. They'll sign the contract to some records or some movie theater, whatever, you know, and their actors, whatever. They sign it to their career and all this. Well, they sign another contract, literally, and their own blood is drawn from their body. Their blood is drawn from their body, and they sign it with some kind of tool or implement in blood to Lucifer. Now, if they don't believe in Lucifer, don't believe in Satan, they don't have a problem with that, because I just don't believe him anyway. I'll sign you. Sure, I'll sign. No problem. I'll sign. They don't realize he's real. And those that do believe in Satan or Lucifer, they say, well, I just really don't want to sign that. It's okay, they say, because if you do a couple good deeds, it cancels the contract. Well, that's a lie. They pull them in. Oh, they will not get a contract. They will not succeed in Hollywood. It will not happen. They will fail until they sign that contract with Lucifer. Katy Perry, it goes with all of them. All of them. And they tell you, too. They have it in testimony. They openly, they tell you. I just, you know, Ford. Melissa Ford.
I had to ask some friends because I was hearing a lot about her, and so they told me, you know, who she was and what she was doing. And I come from the school of thought. There's just some things that the public just shouldn't know. You know what I'm saying? Like things that happen between two people, a wife and a husband, girl. I just don't think that it's for mass consumption. I just have always felt that way, and I just think that the whole idea of celebrity and fame has become really convoluted and, you know, kind of bastardized, like whereas fame used to be the byproduct of success, and now it's the ultimate goal. And if your ultimate goal is to be famous, then you're going to do a lot to get there, like sign your name in blood in a contract with the devil. Like, you're going to end up on a one-way street, and it's going nowhere. Like, that's just the truth. I've seen so many people, like, forsake their moral code and their value systems just for a little bit of fame, and it's not worth it at the end of the day. It's really not worth it.
This goes for the political arena, too. This is why they perform. They have to perform homosexual acts of different types at certain levels to open up their bodies for the soul of the devil to come inside them. This is how it works in their chakras, whatever you want to call it. It works. It happens. They have to perform an abomination. Who am I talking about? Those of Bohemian Grove. Your presidents, Reagan, Nixon. I'm stripping it right down to you. You will find, if you look up Bohemian Grove, Wesak Festival, these are what's really going on behind the scenes. And I'm going to play one more that my regular listeners have heard before, but to give it a little more impact, Jack Black at the MTVA VMA Music Awards. Thousands of movie stars are there and singers and whatever. And when you watch this darn thing, you'll watch him pan the audience of stars and singers and comedians and all this, and you see some of them looking down, sitting back. Others are like real shy doing it, and you see Lathan on the stage. She reacts to it. See, they're being convicted. You can see it.
All right, Jack. That's good. Backstage, you told me to comment on your muscles if I felt the urge.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for commenting.
I didn't.
I've been working out a lot.
Previous winners of Best Rock Video are some of the most exciting acts of all time. Green Day, Linkin Park, and, of course, Aerosmith.
Yeah. Now, listen. Since we're given a rock award tonight, who wants to pray to the devil with me? Who's in with me? Come on, hey. Let me see those horns. Let me see those horns. Metal, 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 metal. All right. Now take the hand of the person next to you. Come on, Layton. Dear Dark Lord Satan, hope everything's good with you. I'm doing fine myself. Just wanted to say hi and ask you to grant tonight's nominees continued success in the music industry. How's that?
Metal. Very metal.
Thank you.
The nominees for Best Rock Video are...
See, they're not playing around. It's not a game. And you see the reaction of the crowd in the seats back. I mean, thousands of them. Some are doing it funny-like, laughing. Others are like, I ain't doing this. You see Lathan on the stage that she throws her hand down and like, oh, I dread this kind of thing, and then straightens up. You see it. The conviction is there. It's supernatural. How many people in America saw that and said, well, that's, wow, that's kind of strange. Yeah. It's not about racism or feminism. It's about Satanism, about Luciferian agenda. This is really what it's about. However, to keep us busy, racism, how they do it, racism, by mass manipulation, through crisis creation is how they do it, to keep us busy. Rockefeller said, Frederick Gates, sorry, chairman of the Rockefeller established General Education Board, the world's work, August 1912. Just because it's 1912 means nothing. Everything done back then is being now coming to fruition. The basis of it was set up back then. We're reaping the constant planning today. We are the product. They're the planners back in 1912, 1920, and you and I and our families, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, are the products of their planning. That's why we are where we are today. He said, in our dreams, people will yield themselves with perfect docility, being docile, to our molding hands, unquote. In our dreams, people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hands. Another way put is from a principle, the Illuminati. A principle that confirms this goes back to 1870s, 1901, Article 5, Paragraph 11 of what's called the scheme, or the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Starting off in 1870s, actually before then, but that's when they actively started creating this plan. The plan was finished May the 1st, 1776. But they waited until 1870 to really put it into effect in different levels. Article 5, paragraph 11 of what we call the scheme or the protocols says, I quote, "There's nothing more dangerous than personal initiative. If it has genius behind it, such initiative can do more than can be done by millions of people among whom we have sown discord. We must so direct the education of the Goyim communities that whenever they come upon a matter requiring initiative, they may drop their hands in despairing impotence," unquote. And they used a sense of order replaced by the chaotic license of disorder, of liberalism, is where that comes from. So, they needed us to fight wars, as planned in 1870s, called World War I, World War II, World War III. World War III is yet to come. It's not this fake one they're trying to gin up now. To fight those wars, they had to have the country in the right state of mind, but not to become so powerful that they would overpower them and catch on to what was being done. So in that time, they had to have the country and the people in the proper mindset of a nuclear family. They had to have a nuclear family as portrayed in the TV and the news and the media. Education, the nuclear family, had to exist. They had to have individualism, but controlled. They had to have a loyalty to family traditions, including like the pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter, and others to have tradition, but covered over the paganism with Christianity. They had to have national patriotism, rah, 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 lift the flag, and all these things to divide, to pull together with national patriotism. Had to be until 1945. And religious dogmas to make a strong family unit. They had to have that till 1945. Because World War I, World War II had to be fought as planned in 1870s. That's correct. And then after 1945, as Brock Chisholm said, director of United Nations World Health Organization, he said he was the director in 1948 to 53 after 1945 was when the plan started. He said, I quote, "To achieve world government, it is now necessary to remove from the minds of men individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. Brock Chisholm. So they had to dismantle everything they set up and using social engineers to establish this from Tavistock and using mass manipulation through crisis creation in order to do it. Racism plays in it perfectly. Racism was set up in the 17th century, 1600s, bringing black slaves over by the white folk to handle the tobacco fields. Now, you white folk, you're under slavery anyway. You didn't even know it. Racism started the minute Columbus set sail and landed in the West Indies. was planted in the year 1425. Racism was set up in the year 1492, and it began. 150, 200 years later, let's get the second race, third race. That would be into America. It was the blacks. So there's really kind of a, now I step back and look at it. I had ancestors that were fighting in the Revolutionary War. Had to, one even did a better job than Paul Revere did, William Gamble. He rode from, I think it was Georgia, all the way up to Virginia, warning that the British were coming. Oh, yeah, it's in our family history. So what? I got a problem. Problem is this. We didn't have any slave owners, but some families did back then, a few, right? Georgia, South Carolina had slave plantations. So in the 1700s, our deist founding fathers that were Freemasons, working under the Fabian Society, and George Washington didn't even trust them anyway. Him and John Adams weren't bad guys, actually. They were Masons, but they pulled out of it. They don't tell you about that. He didn't trust what was going on. Our Freemasons over here was pulled into it. But still, I got a problem here. Problem is, here comes the Declaration of Independence, right? I'm not going into that rabbit hole right now, but Declaration of Independence, they get together at Freedom Hall and all this stuff, and then Liberty Bell and Concord, and you know, the whole thing is all set up by the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, the whole doggone bit, and Jesuits to cause this war to put us under bondage, and it worked perfectly. We've been in bondage ever since. Didn't know it yet. But here's the problem. Back to racism. Is that we're signing a Declaration of Independence for freedom. Okay. Freedom for who? By the way. Well, we got slaves. We're looking for freedom in America. So something's not working here. If they were really truly for freedom, they would have had the blacks that were here and the Indians are here, and they would have had them working on the farms and paying them a salary. Because they'd be hiring them. Not beating, raping, and murdering. And genetically manipulating their products, weeding out the weak and bringing in the studs. That was set up by Willie Lynch in 1711, by the way. So, freedom for who? I still got a problem with that. So, something's not matching. Our white forefathers, for freedom, for who? When you got slaves, and the Indians are put away, looked down upon. So, who we got freedom for? So, somebody's not telling the truth here. For how long? Oh, 1611 till 1960. I think it's long enough, don't you? We like to ignore that, don't we? I don't ignore it. I remember when I was in high school, I would, you can't find them anymore, the books of Mount Airy down here. I remember doing research on this when I was like 15 years old or 14 years old. And I found books in the library, I remember them, showing mass lynchings of innocent blacks. Tied them up to trees and burned them alive. Cutting off pieces of them for souvenirs in North Carolina. I saw the books, I saw the pictures. There's a problem here about this freedom thing going on. I had a problem with that when I was a kid. I didn't like it. I said, something ain't right here, even back then. So, something, you know, this racism thing, something's not matching our forefathers. If they wanted freedom, it'd be freedom for all. So, somebody's up to something that ain't right. Well, it wasn't, because it's never for freedom. In the same way, racism and the civil rights movement is to enslave, not to free. The feminist movement, feminism, was to enslave, not to give freedom. the Declaration of Independence, in fact, brought to us by the Jesuits, was there to enslave, not to give freedom. Oh, I got that documented. The Declaration of Independence was brought in by the Vatican, by the Jesuits, modeled after the Magna Carta. This is planned all a long time ago. I got this documentary from the Illuminati's own textbook called Signs of Christ by Harold Belliaz. 1977 talks about how they did it, using liberty for mass manipulation through Christ's creation. All our founding fathers had to do for the freedom of all in America, no matter what color, skin, whatever, was to sign petition of several thousand colonists and take our duly elected servants called Congress that work for us or get fired, not the other way around. Anyway, it switched, hadn't it? Mm-hmm. And then take that petition to the Queen or King of England, King George in this case, and he had to abide by the rights. He had to abide by the wishes of the colonists because he was bound under the coronation oath. It was based on biblical principles of Romans 13, that God is in charge that we're to go with everything the government says, and the government's supposed to go by what God says. That's what they take an oath in England, which is really what we're under anyway. We're not under a president of the United States. That's almost funny. The coronation oath is what they take, that they must abide by the wishes of the people. But they don't tell you that. That's to placate the public. And this silly thing called the Constitution never was one. It was to placate us all along. And the presidents know this. The judges at Freemasons know this. And they've been lying to us ever since. Harvard, they tell them to lie about it. They get to take an oath to not tell the American public. So it's all about mass manipulation, and they plan it decades ahead. Now y'all understand how it really works? This thinking science, of course now using racism and feminism and all that and as it comes along, was created at Oxford in 1921 by the Royal Institute of International Affairs, Tavistock, 1921. A behavioral think tank to mass manipulate the public. Before then, it was still the Illuminati and the committees and so forth, going all the way back to your secret societies, back to the 1700s, the 1600s. Different names, the same old garbage. But now, current, using racism now, it was funded later from the Rockefeller Foundations, the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, is the nerve center for global manipulation of human consciousness. And you know, not too long after 1921 in Tavistock, a co-founder of it was John Rees and others, John Rawlings Rees. It became the core of Britain's Psychological Warfare Bureau. And what they did, they studied the effects of shell shock on British soldiers. And so Tavistock played a crucial role in creating the OSS, which is a precursor to the CIA. And the CIA was formed by the Nazis after 1945, that we brought over here 10,000 Nazis in Operation Paperclip. They helped form the CIA and the UN and our rocket program, Von Braun. Oh, yeah. Even Hitler came over in 1945-46. You heard that, didn't you? Oh, good. Because he did. He didn't die. It's under the guidance of Dr. Lewin, with help from Alan Dulles, a German Nazi and the U.S. Joint Chief of Staff. Connect the dots. Bang, bang. So, the microwave mind control, when techniques and technology increased, so did its influence. Research in the use of microwave weapons. Now we're up to date with the use of mind control began in the 1950s at Tavistock. I got to study 1973. That's when started the Mark of the Beast, mind control, voices in the head. 1950s. Baby boomer time. And the United Kingdom Institute researched into ways that mind control the British population without them ever knowing. And you know, besides helping to create the CIA, the Tavistock was also a major force behind the formation of NATO and deeply connected to the Club of Rome. The Club of Rome, depopulation. That means to murder a population. Let's call it what it is. I hate politically correctness. Like dancing in a... like trying to dance in a field of lilies and not break a one. I never have been politically correct, and I don't intend ever being. The murderers. See, even the CIA members, they're not of that onion level. It depends what level the onion of the CIA you peel away. Young CIA agents, certain places, they don't know what I'm talking about. But the ones inside, they do. They're the ones that wear the robes and sacrifice children. Club of Rome, depopulation means murder. Entire populations. Yesterday, I played one of the members of the Club of Rome, Zbigniew Brzezinski. It's easier to kill a million people than to control a million people, unquote. The Club of Rome works with the Tavistock to create propaganda and crisis in order to manipulate the world's population. And they do a predetermined direction toward collectivists, a one-world socialistic dictatorship right under your noses. And they use racism and feminism as their main weapon. They'll sacrifice, they'll have one of the Freemason cops to murder somebody and set it up as a defense or a crime that they were stopping. And then they'll have their engineers infiltrate inside the black community, inside the white community, and say, man, we got to do something about this, don't you? Yeah. And they get them all worked up. You ever heard of the KKK? Aryan Nation, Black Panthers? They work for the Jesuits. They'll work for the same people. Some of them don't even know it. Tea Party. If it's an organization or a movement, they control it. It don't matter. And the leaders will be your best friend. They'll invite you over for a barbecue. You'll go out and play golf and all that. That's all baloney. It's a lie. To pull you in, hook you up, so you'll swallow the sink or two. Oh, we go to church. We read the Bible. We love God and all this. That's another lie. You can't have a double life. Stop tippy-toeing. Now, up to date, pretty much, and I'm still going to go back here shortly. I go back and forth, but Tavistock operates through a network of think tanks, NGOs, universities, media outlets to influence the public opinion. They break down the moral fabric that's held this West together using scientifically crafted techniques of manipulation. The universities are controlled by the Council of Foreign Relations, answering to Tavistock. Tavistock has played an important part in the creation of several institutional centers, and that includes Stanford Research Institute, Wharton School, University of Pennsylvania. Am I getting close to home? The Slogan School of MIT. Other groups. The Heritage Foundation. The Rand Corporation, named after that witch Anne Rand. And I mean that literally. I didn't mean that as a slander. She was into witchcraft. Satanist. Evil to the core. Rand Corporation, Anne Rand. Rand Paul. Ron Paul loves Anne Rand. He says it in his own words. He follows her writings and teachings. Man, he says it. I didn't. Maybe that's why it's a Rosicrucian. And also lying to the American public. All of them are, finally. Heritage Foundation. The Rand Corporation. Hudson Institute. Esalen. E-S-A-L-E-N. Brookings Institution. MIT. Institute for Policy Studies, IPS. Institute for Policy Studies, IPS. Walden Research. These are all part of it. So you know the executives, the social scientists, all their employees, all the work that comes out of these organizations is used to manipulate you all. National Training Laboratories. Stanford, Harvard Psychiatric Clinic, Social Psychiatry, Princeton Institute for Advanced Studies, Institute for Social Research. Kissinger works with them through the Star Group. You know what Star Group is? The Star Group, the pentagram, the Star Group, 5 points. Concerns the protocols of insurance worldwide. All insurance protocol. Banking. There's your banking. It ain't the bankers. This is not a banking, Jewish bankers conspiracy. The banking is a small part of the Star Group. Star Group's controlled by Kissinger. Kissinger's controlled by Tavistock. Tavistock's controlled by the Royal Institute of International Affairs. And that's part of the Round Table, which includes the Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Group, Council of Foreign Relations, you got it? United Nations, Gorbachev Foundation. Did I say Trilateral Commission? Trilateral Commission. That's how they do it. So the Star Group is insurance protocol worldwide, banking protocol worldwide. Bankers are dime a dozen. Presidents of countries are dime a dozen. Your Eric Holders and all these guys, people say, we got to remove Eric Holder from the... Oh, please, get a life. Eric Holder can be replaced with a telephone call by the afternoon tea and crumpets. Eric Holder is nothing but a shoe shine. He's nothing. The president can be replaced just like that. Putin, Obama, Netanyahu can be replaced in a heartbeat. So these like Eric Holder... All those below and then at level, all these guys, man, they shine shoes, man. That's all they do. Shine shoes and comb the hairs. That's all they do, man. There's nothing else except distraction. Kissinger, Star Group, insurance, banking, real estate, high tech, cybernetics, HARP, communications, all that, and entertainment. There's your Hollywood through the Star Group. Family, that's just Tavistock. So, racism is just another weapon they use. So, National Training Laboratories, NTL, sponsoring group sensitivity and diversity program designed to erase a person's individuality. To erase your individuality. Does that sound familiar? I've already talked about that. They're dedicated to that. So become a team player. Team player? Heck with that. I'm a team player of Jesus. That's it. I'm done. I ain't your team player. Don't even count me in. I follow Jesus Christ and it's not non-negotiable. Death is preferred. And then there's a release. If you're afraid of death, you're afraid of dying, you're afraid of pain, you're afraid of all this stuff, then you're afraid to live. And if you live a lie, if you're living a lie because of a blood oath, you're already dead. You're walking dead. That's a walking dead when you're living a lie. Live the truth. Racism's a lie. It's being used to cause us division, to fight each other. You know, the fact that political correctness is all about creating a uniformity and individuality and all that is one of the biggest obstacles in the way of the New World Order. They want a public that's predictable and conditioned to do what it's told without asking questions. I guess that's why I call people a lot of pain when I say, oh, here comes the why man. They always ask them why. That's one of my big worries, was why. So that puts us right into racism specifically. The devil's work, feminism and the elite depopulation agenda, includes racism. It's all connected together. Now, I talked to you all about the different races, where they came from. That goes back to Ham, Shem, and Japhet. And we talked about that. I've gotten more information on that as I went along about where the races really came from. And it goes back that far. I'm going to leave that alone for right now. But we're going to talk about racism itself. And I try to give you the complete basics of it. But really, I told y'all before, don't believe a word I say. I want you to check out everything and try to prove me wrong. If you do, we both win. Because you tell me, and I say, oh, okay, and I'll explain it on the air. I don't care. I have no pride about that and ego that I won't say, well, I made a mistake, and here's the truth. Here's what I made a mistake in, and I'll explain it. I don't have a problem with that at all. I don't know it all. But I do an inordinate amount of research. The sun makes a difference on the skin. A darker skin protects from the sun. Food intake plays a part. Your language plays a part of DNA change. You're darker in the summer when you go outside, lighter in the winter when you stay inside. Change your skin color, don't it? The physical skin has nothing to do with the race, genetically speaking, although the skin tones are carried from our ancestors. A Muslim can have a light skin or a dark skin. Catholic, Baptist, Buddhist. You know, if the Celts had lived in Africa, their skin would have been dark. If depends on the generations they lived down there, of the different energy patterns of that earth alchemy in the southern part of the world, in Africa. They would have had, after a couple of generations, two, three, four generations, their DNA would have been changing. We can't judge people on skin color. But we should be aware of the shade of one's heart so you not be snared into sin. You know sinful activities. You know, God's warned us about this in the King James Bible. He gave us what's called commandments to abide by. Doesn't differentiate about the skin color, does it? Races were moved all over the world like musical chairs. The U.S. has many races here, and that was by design going back to the 1400s, to make this country a melting pot to set up their new creation of mankind and kill off all the others. It's always been the plan. It's about sin, not skin color. It's about the heart, not the color of the skin. There's right now fights going on in groups saying, well, Jesus is white, Jesus is black, Jesus is this, that, and the other. First of all, what difference does it make? What does the Bible say about racism? Well, the first thing you got to understand is that there's only one race. That's the human race. Caucasians, Africans, Asians, Indians, Arabs, Jews, no different races. Rather, they're different ethnicities of the human race. You know, human beings have the same physical characteristics with minor variations, of course. But more importantly, human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1, 26 to 27. God loved the world so much, he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to lay down his life for us. He became sin for us. The color of skin of Jesus makes no difference of anything. So why do you white folk, black folk, Chinese folk, care what Jesus looks like. Why you have these organizations that meet and you drink coffee and drink tea or beer, whatever, I don't know what, and you sit there and discuss that Jesus was black, Jesus was white, Jesus was blonde hair, blue eyed, or whatever. What difference does it make? So you just wasted gas going to the meeting place and sitting there doing rah, rah, rah for no reason. Because it'll never accomplish anything. It won't matter. It doesn't matter to God. So what's the big deal? Well, I'll tell you what. Because your organization on a higher level has caused these things to happen to keep you divided. Now, you're going to go home or at work or whatever. You're going to pass out pamphlets. You're going to kill people sometimes because of this race thing going on. And they keep it going, man. They keep it going. Who does? NAACP, ACLU, KKK, Black Panthers, Aryan Nation. Man, just name it. Aslan for the Mexicans. Everybody's got some kind of group to keep them all divided. And by mass manipulation, if you don't follow through, you're with us or you're against us. Hey, brother, you with us? You come with us. Or you say, hey, compadre, you're going back to Mexico, we're going to kill you. Whatever way. You're not part of the group, we're going to kill you. Wait a minute now, aren't I a Mexican too? But I'm not part of the group, you're going to kill me? Or if I'm a white boy, I had one person tell me back in Georgia, when I lived there in Atlanta, I'm friendly to everybody. You know, I don't care if you're black, white, anybody. I don't make one lick of difference whatsoever. I don't care. And I was going to a Bible study in a Hardee's, I believe it was. And there's all this, you know, old guys there, you know, some retired, some not. 40s and 50s or whatever, about 10 or 15, when Bible study at Hardee's, you know. And so I got a ride with one of them, two of them, or he'd ride with me every now and then. And he was a Freemason. We got along still. And we'd walk into the parking lot several occasions, and I was friendly with black people coming out. I had to say it that way because apparently to him it made a difference. And one day he said, Tom, you're kind of friendly on those people, aren't you? I said, friendly on what? He said, oh, he said another word. I said, I didn't lose it. I just kind of rubbed my forehead a little bit. Says, what do you mean? I played the game. I want to draw it out. I said, what are you talking about? I knew exactly what he's talking about. He said, well, you're a little friendly to them. I said, friendly to who? Well, you know, and he said the word. I said, no. I said, what are you talking about? I'm not friendly. I'm just friendly to everybody. What difference does it make? Just curious. Well, I just doing the side step, man. It's that steps. I said, darn right I am. I didn't tell him that I favored it because they were put down for 200, 300, 400 years. I didn't lose my temper. I just was amazed at the ignorance and what it made a difference because I was friendly to blacks. I tried my best not to be infuriated. I did the best I could. I really did. I just understood the ignorance. That was recent, too, this past 5 years. It's dumb. Complete stupidity, but it's mass manipulation going back generations. We're taught. For what reason? Like the monkeys after the banana. It's always been that way. Why? God doesn't show partiality or favoritism. You got scriptures that support that. I could read you the scriptures and all that, but I don't have a lot of time today. Deuteronomy 10:17, Acts 10:34. Romans 2:11. God doesn't show partiality or favoritism. Neither should we. James 2 verse 4 describes those who discriminate as judges with evil thoughts. Instead, we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. James 2:8. And in the Old Testament, God divided humanity into two racial groups, Jews and Gentiles. That's it. God's intent was for the Jews to be a kingdom of priests, to carry God's word to mankind. They failed. They were to minister to the Gentile nations. He picked a nation. He picked a people, the Hebrew Jews, to deliver his word. The word contained later to become the King James Bible would have been the Hebrew, because you see, the King James Bible encompasses in all the Old Testament, the first five books of the Torah. The first five books of the Torah is in the King James Bible, the Old Testament. God's 613 instructions to Moses, summarized in 10 commandments, summarized in the New Testament, when Jesus said, love the Father with all your heart and soul, and love your fellow man as Christ loved the church. That summarizes the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments summarizes the 613 instructions that Moses wrote down by direction from God himself. You see, wheat and tares. Wheat, accept Jesus. Tares, you don't. Any questions? It's that simple. Your Jonathan Clicks and all these knotheads, these Illuminati members, say that the tares are the Nephilim and all this. We're all got Nephilim. That's all baloney. It's all garbage. See, first they give you, for example, the click guy, whatever. See, they start off showing you all this fancy stuff with a dollar bill and a $10 bill and all that stuff. Man, that's set up a long time ago. Being he's Illuminati, they're going to let him know that stuff, and that gives them credibility. Now, once they've got credibility, then they move into the real objective, to thwart the true word of God and the gospel. That's how they do it. They do it on YouTube. They come up with your best friend. They say, oh, I love God. I love Jesus. Oh, I agree with you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometime along the path, they're activated. And then they come out and say, well, you know, and they change everything. That's how they do it. That's dirty, man. They become your friend, then they become your enemy when they were activated. That's how it's done. Jews and Gentiles. When I was a teenager, I remember this. I forgot the grade. It was 7th, 8th, or 9th grade. I don't know. We had the exchange students, and one of them was from Somalia. Somalia, in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Hello. And this guy was all Somalian. Black as Ace of Spades, man. And I was a white boy. He's an exchange student in Mount Airy, North Carolina, Mount Airy High School. And they couldn't find a place for him to live for the exchange part of it, whatever. So I came home and said, my mom. She said, no problem. He can stay with us. Bingo. Stayed with us for a good part of the year. Man, let me tell you, that boy, he knew his math something awful. He knew it upside down. Woo, was he a lot of help. But I'll tell you what, he could not play one ounce of basketball. So I helped him with basketball and sports. And Lord of mercy, he helped me with math. Let me tell you what. It's not about skin color, for goodness sakes alive. Now, if they didn't have this problem in Ferguson, they wouldn't be able to manipulate the people in Ferguson, would they? They'd say, oh, this is not working. Well, they tried to do the same thing in the false flag in Bundy Ranch. Bundys are Illuminati. They're dirty. In Nevada. White against white. You see, they keep poking around. So that one had to be different. Had to be militia. We live in a tyrannical government. They're trying to take our land away and blah, 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 blah. The Bundys are lying to their fellow ranchers, setting them all up, working on behind the scenes. Bundy is Illuminati. Look it up. is a test case to see where we were in this patriotic fervor. Manipulating friends and ranchers and family, getting them all worked up, not knowing they're being manipulated by mass manipulation technique in Las Vegas. What happened to it? It just dissipated, didn't it? Now you got Ferguson. Black and white issue. You see how you're being manipulated? Now it's the talk of the town. What's going on behind the scenes, though? What are they up to? That's the point. They're up to something else. How far will this escalate? How far will they drive it? What will they justify? They already brought in the National Guard. The Pussy Come Matthias Act. Bye-bye. Says they can bring in the National Guard. How about that? When they declare a national disaster, curfew and all that sort of thing. Let no crisis go to waste. Being manipulated in Ferguson, out the yin-yang. Everybody just going right along with it. If you didn't have this racism, they would not have power. They would not have power. They wouldn't have the ability to do tyrannical speeches and all that. They wouldn't have any power. You give them the power because of racism.
Well, we've always done it that way, y'all.
Well, just keep on going. Quit complaining then. Because it's going to take you down. Because you give them that power. They gain it from you because of how you react. By mass manipulation. How's it feel? There's your tyranny. And people don't even realize it. It's time to break out of that. Time to join God's club. Because that one's eternal. And that one is 100% sure. How deep does it go? Well, I'll tell you how deep it goes. I'll give you exactly what it is. And she is not my favorite lady. But she'll tell you just what it is. Yeah. First, he will, a student of Adam Weishaupt. With Vladimir Lenich Lenin. Ever heard of Lenin? I don't mean on your bed. I mean Lenin, 1904. Lenin said, a student of Adam Weishaupt and the natural law, he said that the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion, you will have repression and a dictatorship by consent, unquote. So now the woman that set this all up with the principles and the textbook called Atlas Shrugged, that's a textbook, 1957, under a fictional storyline. Ann Rand, ooh, it gives me chill bumps, mistress to Philip Rothschild, she was tasked by the Illuminati to write the playbook for the world revolutionary movement and to put it in fictional book form and story, like that Rollins witch, literally. I can say it because that's what she was, that wrote Harry Potter, that they use in churches for study of and Bible study. Can you believe it? It's a textbook of witchcraft to teach your children witchcraft and love it. That's what it's all about. Well, Ayn Rand did the same thing with Illuminati for the Atlas Shrugged. It's exactly their textbook for establishing world government using fictional characters and storyline, but true to the actual strategy. She said, and I quote, "There's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals." Well, when there's not enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that becomes impossible to live without breaking laws. But just pass the kind of laws that can neither be observed nor enforced or objectively interpreted, and you create a nation of lawbreakers. And then you cash in on the guilt. Now, as the story line goes, continues, now that's the system, Mr. Reardon, and that's the game. And once you understand it, you'll be much easier to deal with, unquote, a part of the book. You see how it works? So they take this book, and they take this principle, and they teach it to their pagan children. And then the pagan children, when they get out of high school and college, they remember that lesson learned. You know, the way the text, the way the Illuminati writes a textbook is very, very good. I've seen several. They do a medieval type artist history of the principle. They draw it. Then they have a description of it. And it matches the picture. So that way you got a visual, you got a written description. And using symbolic terms. And you just don't forget it. It's amazing how they do it. Then they put everything out in front of your face so you'll see it. So you won't take it serious. Racism is a weapon. Why? Because it's always been this way. Nobody asked the question, why? God's intention back in the days was for the Jews to be the kingdom of priests. Ministered to the Gentile nations, and they failed at doing it. They got divided, split up, power hungry, what all kinds of things happened. We got down to two nations. Then they fought each other for 200 years. So the objective, God's objective to being priest or carrying the word of God to mankind fell upon the Gentiles. That's where you get the King James Bible in English. And there's no coincidence that English is a universal language, whereas Hebrew would have been universal language. It's English a universal language. It's going to go back to Hebrew, not the Yiddish they speak in Israel today. It's junk. And the Star of David is an occult hexagram used for sacrifice and witchcraft. Somebody ought to tell Hagee this. Hagee's a lost guy. Mark Blitz and Hagee, Four Moons or Blood Moon. That book is worthless, man. It's a book of witchcraft, astrology, and nonsense. You want to buy it? Go ahead. But it's all nonsense. It's been debunked anyway. See how they work? To keep us divided. Falsify scripture, end times events. That's total evil. Because they're under a blood oath. All forms of racism and prejudice and discrimination are affronts to the work of Christ on the cross. For the most part, the Jews became proud of their status and despised the Gentiles, and Jesus Christ put an end to this and destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. God's always been there to try to keep man on tap, on straight. Man don't like it, doesn't he? No, don't like it at all. But man's not going to solve it because man don't have the dimensional capacity, and yet we do. Satan's not going to do it because Satan don't have dimensional capacity, or he wouldn't have sacrificed Jesus on the cross because that was his downfall. He didn't know that. They don't time travel. They're going to believe they do time travel. Oh, Lord of mercy. I mean, oh my. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. God divided us at the Tower of Babel, gave them different languages. Same skin, same culture, one earth, one piece of land, but different languages. You see, what happened was, this is the basis of racism. Here we go. In the Old Testament, pre-flood, Satan, the fallen angels, manipulated DNA. Adam and Eve wasn't the first Jews, wasn't any mankind created before Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve was the first man and woman ever created on the face of this planet ever. Arnold Murray, Christian Identity, all those others are dead wrong. Pre-Adamic race is baloney. A pre-race of fallen angels, yeah. But mankind, no. So during the flood period, before the flood, it was Satan, fallen angels, DNA, and they had to wait generations to see the effect of the DNA on their manipulation of plants, animals, human beings, debauchery, giants beyond the imagination, cannibalism, evil beyond the imagination. Here come the flood. Destroyed it all. 8 people left. Not 50. Not 9. Not Cain jumping on the ark and saying, I'm holding on. Everything died. Except the fallen angels, because they're supernatural. Start all over again. Isn't there a song about that? Starting all over again. Anyway. So starting all over again. Fallen angels came back. Nimrod. Old Testament post-flood. Noah. Ham. Cush. Nimrod. Nimrod was a warrior before God. He was turned into Nephilim. Given the Freemasonry craft of witchcraft. Alchemy. Here we go again. Most of the tribes that were existing back then, a lot of them, were giants and hybrids. Bible don't tell you that, necessarily. Well, actually it does. Excuse me. Deuteronomy it does. I'm sorry, my mistake. It does tell you they're giants in the King James Bible. 8, 10 foot, 14, 30 foot giants. The Indians, the American Plains, had to deal with them. Talking about racism. If you was trying to race to protect your life when a 20-foot giant warrior's after your butt. Well, they finally killed him, just like in the days of Noah, after Noah, they were killing races. That's why the men, women, and children had to die. Because they were, God led them. God gave them victory over these giant races because of corrupted DNA and the evil intention. Nimrod built the Tower of Babel to bring the fallen angels back into this world by alchemy. God destroyed the Tower of Babel, divided the languages so man couldn't work together again. Still one earth, one piece of land. But now you got different races, but based on different languages, not skin color. Now, if God changed the skin color then, and he could have. It's not said in the Bible. If he waited for generations after, that could have happened also. That's when the different table of nations occurred, the physical differences, was after he changed the languages. They divided up. Once again, by changing languages, God stopped man's planning against God. You see what happened? The flood did it first. Changing languages did second. Now you get it? Well, they're not done yet. Fallen angels are working out their witchcraft in different cultures. There's a gap of history, about 1,000 years of a gap where there's no history been recorded. Somewhere in that gap, during the days of pre-lig and after, somewhere there, God divided the land. You want to keep up with this? Okay. He divided the land. Pulled the land apart. He moved. If he can create the earth, by goodness, he can cause the earth to pull apart, separate the land into where we are today. It causes. And look in the pre-leg. God divided the land. It tells you there. And what it doesn't tell you, there's a dark period of history that's not accounted for. Non-biblical references talks about a gigantic tsunami worldwide that would have occurred if God had pulled the land apart and a massive loss of life over a period of 1,000 years. There'd be no history. That's speculation. There's nothing documented that of God's word that talks about it. But the missing part of it is the interesting part. The rumors and legends of a giant tsunami wiping out virtually the earth again on the 200, 300 foot waves of that would have occurred if God had pulled the land apart, just ripped it apart like a crossword, like a jigsaw puzzle where we are today, raise the water table up, eliminate Atlantis where the fallen angels were operating. So you want to keep doing? He changed the languages. He drowned them first. Didn't work. Satan kept moving. Okay. He changed the languages. Satan said, okay, well, he set up shop there and started teaching in their languages. Okay. He pulled them apart. Literally, the land pulled apart. You see it today how it is. Being placed in different parts of the earth will change the DNA. So either God did it supernaturally at the moment, or God let it happen over a period of time. The DNA over the generations started changing because of different locations on the earth. The earth has the divided ley lines. Ley lines are different power structures of the earth. Your body has what's called chakras, okay? Different power structures. I'm not getting into all that right now. But the earth does too. Mount Shasta, California, Mount Hermon, all these places. Certain places where Indian reservations are placed, or where cathedrals are placed, or where they do their rituals. They have power structures of the earth there where it generates power they gain, they pull in through witchcraft, sorcery. They don't have power of their own. They have to wait till the stars get a certain place. The constellations a certain place. That's where the holidays come from, where they do their sacrifices. That's what all this is about. Disasters. Death, world wars, the fallen angels absorb this power structure. The Satanists, the witches at the highest level absorb this power through death and destruction, loss of life. And you don't think there's going to be judgment on this face of the earth? Anyway, so he divided the land, started changing the DNA. Here comes the different races. Okay, so what Satan did caused the races to fight each other. Created those seven areas we talk about, the Ashram rays, the politics, the religion, the finance, the arts, sciences, education, to cause people to fight each other, to cause people to move away. Mass manipulation has always been. Because Satan knows his time is short. I have severely summarized this. I do not support nor advocate the Book of Enoch. However, there is about three quarters of it. Half of it is true. It talks about the fallen angels. It's never written by Enoch. It's impossible to be written by Enoch. There's two Enochs in the Bible, the son of Cain. They're all destroyed in the flood anyway. And the bloodline of Seth was the Enoch that you read about in the Bible, was taken up. He never had time to write a book, for goodness sakes. And even the New Age guys say that the Book of Enoch was the first or second century. But the Book of Enoch does talk about the fallen angels. But then again, the rest of the Book of Enoch is just a bunch of junk. The Bible talks about the fallen angels too, and the giants, with 100% truth. King James Bible. Never been refuted. Book of Enoch is refuted upside one down the other. But it does contain some truth. I will admit that. About the fallen angels. But it's a trap. To pull you away from the true word of God and salvation. God has always been there to keep man from plotting against himself. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. He knows if man's left to plot against him, then man will become his own God, which is not going to happen. Because man could never do that. Man don't have the capability or capacity to do that. So by taking these opportunities away, mankind is left to reflect upon himself by who's in charge. Satan adjusts accordingly. For now, he can do that. When Jesus Christ says it's finished, it was finished. Satan lost that ability to do that. He still remained here. Still can manipulate and demonize. But he didn't have the power. Now he did then. Because now you got help, the Holy Spirit, to keep you aware. Prayer to be answered has kept him back now. You see what's happened? And when Jesus Christ said it is finished on the cross, unlike what these liars like Joyce Myers and Copeland and Brazier and Dollar and T.D. Jakes and all the rest of them, and TBN, all of them, say that Jesus Christ went to hell, was stomped on, beat up, and suffered in hell. That's a lie from the pit of hell. When Jesus Christ said he was finished on the cross of Calvary, it was finished. When he went down into paradise to vacate paradise to the Old Testament saints, right across the chasm from hell, he proclaimed he'd risen. Satan had no more authority on this earth, but only to manipulate mankind. And that's where we are today. And racism plays right in his pocket. Feminism plays right in his pocket. I hope I've explained this today. It's not been easy today to explain this. I'll tell you that right now. To try to make it to where it's palatable. To understand how we're being manipulated. And once you understand how you're being manipulated, you take their power away. Family, listen. History has always been pre-planned generations ahead. History has not happened arbitrarily and then people react to it. No. Nuh-uh. The reality is history was pre-planned to happen. Always. Any misdirections are dealt with and adjustments are made and reported in history erroneously every time. And this to suit their agenda. Taught in the schools. They're convoluted reports of history. So they plan the history. God manipulates it, or mankind gets powerlessful, whatever, and they just readjust it. And then they report on it. It's called history. It's worthless. History is worthless. Philosophy is worthless. It's to keep you distracted and unaware. That's what it's for. So history being pre-planned is contrary to what we're taught. That history happens, manipulates, then we react to history because it just happened that way. World War I was started because Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated and because of this. No, that was just a false flag. They killed a man, Archduke Ferdinand, for several other reasons, but World War I was planned in the 1870s. They need that crisis creation as plausible deniability. Pearl Harbor was planned in the 1920s by FDR, Churchill, and the Japanese elite at the Illuminati level. Planned Pearl Harbor in the 1920s. J.P. Morgan. And did you know that J.P. Morgan and Churchill, planning together, were responsible for the murder of 1,201 lives on May the 7th, 1915, of Lusitania? They were responsible for the murder of all of them. Because they set it up that way to justify World War I. They go to jail for that? No. You know Churchill was a Knights of Malta? You know Jerry Boykin is a Knights of Malta? Do you know that Rick Joyner is a Knights of Malta? Do you know that Mandela, that murderer, was a Knights of Malta? Mandela couldn't hold a candle to Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was a real man of God. Oh, he had his time and fell back a little bit. And he attended the meetings, the socialists and communists, till he realized what he was up to. He got out of it. He separated himself from the civil rights workers, just Jacksons, no other Freemasons. He moved away from them. They don't tell you that, do they? All the civil rights workers with their agenda, that's their business. But I, that's what he said. He said, that's their business. Whatever they do, that's their business. But I got something else in mind. God got a hold of that man. And God got a hold of JFK too. God got a hold of Bobby Kennedy. Malcolm X, on the other hand, he went to Saudi Arabia. He found out what Islam was all about. That wasn't the evil that it, you know, from the they were making out to be. Of course, it's against God, but he came back from his trip in Saudi Arabia, and he changed everything. They were going to use the racism, the Black Panthers, Black Muslims, to set up the race riots back then to lead to a dictatorship. That was the plan. But now when Martin Luther King became his own man and he wanted to bring everybody together, and Malcolm X wasn't the radical that it was supposed to be, and JFK was going to take down Illuminati, all their plans went to pot. No pun intended. So they had to assassinate all four of them. Now you know. That's what really happened. It didn't work out the way they had planned. You see, God's always in control. God's in control. Are they ever going to learn that? Jesus commands us to love one another as he loves us. John 13:34. If God's impartial and loves us impartially, then we need to love each other the same high standard. Live apart, not intermarry, but care about each other. I'll talk more about that tomorrow. Jesus teaches us in Matthew 25 that whatever we do to the least of his brothers, we do it to him. If we treat a person with contempt, we're mistreating a person created in God's image. We're hurting somebody God loves and for whom Jesus died for. Racism, in this many different varying forms, to various degrees, has been a plague on humanity thousands of years, as I've explained to you exactly. Your brothers and sisters of all the ethnicities should not be. But it's always been. Why? Well, it's always been. Well, why? I don't know. My granddaddy did it. My great-granddaddy did it. And that's what we're supposed to do. Oh. Just like monkeys after a banana. Victims of racism or prejudice and discrimination need to forgive each other. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Racists may not deserve your forgiveness, but we deserve God's forgiveness far less. Those who practice racism, prejudice, discrimination, need to repent. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness of God. Romans 6:13. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye all are one in Christ Jesus. Man, how much more clear can you get? Well, that ain't what I was taught there back in the day. Yeah, okay, Cletus. You got the racial theory, the economic theory, the outsider's theory, the scapegoat theory, the decide theory, the chosen people theory. Oh, goodness gracious alive. It's called anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism was created by Theodore Herzl as directed by the Illuminati, by the Jesuits, to liquidate Jewish wealth. That's the reality. We'll get on that tomorrow. Family, got to go. It's getting close to that time. I'm just getting wound up, too. Y'all know me. I'm talking to the others that are racist out there. Man, you're being manipulated. The idea was to bring all the races together in America, get rid of all the individual races, get rid of all the pure races, and bring together all the races in one country, one area. That was America. That was the plan for the New Atlantis, Sir Francis Bacon. It goes back to the 1400s, 1500s. It's taken them almost 600 years. Longer than that. Here in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Little old town. Hardly any more business left. I got a question. Why, in this little old town, little old country town, why are they bringing in a Mandarin language teacher welcomed here in Mount Airy High School, teaching Mandarin Chinese? We only have like two Chinese restaurants, maybe three. So why are they bringing a Mandarin teacher in Mount Airy, North Carolina? Oh, five Chinese students enrolled in Winston-Salem University. A language teacher, Chinese. Well, I'll tell you why. Because you have a foreign trade zone in Mount Airy. You have an investment throughout the United States of Chinese that's bought our land. They bought our 30% of our debt. And Mount Airy is going to blossom, baby, because you're going to get rid of the old people. They die off. Young people move out. Foreign trade zones move in. They destroyed the textile industry. They destroyed everything here. Now they're going to come in, build it up in foreign trade zones, getting ready for the North American continent. North American Union, excuse me. The North American Union. What Senator Schaefer was fighting against. There are six foreign trade zones in North Carolina alone. They're sneaking up on you, America, like we snuck up on the Indians when we invaded as the first culture that immigrants. We're immigrants. White people don't belong in America. White people belong in Europe. Black people don't belong in America. Black people belong in Africa. Indians and Mexicans belong in America. White people belong in Europe. Chinese people belong in the Orient. Black people belong in Africa. You got the point? But we all were brought together by Satan to go against God again, and you were getting ready to do it again. I got evidence on that. I'm not making this up. My final point I'm going to make is by quote. To show you what I'm telling you is the truth, quote, Brock Chisholm, after 1945, the guy comes out again. Christian Broadcasting Network. Why? Bring all the people together. Well, once they have the Illuminati head, King Dispa of the Universe, Brock Chisholm says, 1948, I quote, by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. And then the next step after that will be to render the masses docile and obedient to the masters by using mass medication. And that began in the 1900s with fluoridation. Now they've got the mark of the beast to bring you all together. You see, this is a big picture. Races to be divided, but to work together with each other under the connection with God through Jesus Christ. Not to fight each other. They've caused us to fight each other through racism. And divide the families through feminism. I'm going to break it down. I really need to cover it all this week. Because this brings to light everything. By just discussing this, it brings everything else to light. You take away their power, then you start working together to exalt Jesus Christ, not ourselves. This is an important broadcast today, I believe. This is Ferguson, Missouri, is their effort to test and push us against each other. And the blacks are working with it, the whites are working with it, and they're working for the Illuminati. Trayvon Martin, mother, writing letter to Brown. They put it in the paper. Then your white folk are doing their thing over there with the KKK, and everybody's doing their individual racist kind of stuff going on to keep the fire burning. Y'all fall right into line with it. Everybody's getting all involved in the race thing. They're not stepping back and say, wait a minute. We're tired of fighting. Hey, Jesuits, you're the problem. Freemasons, Nazi Malta, you're the problem. Not us folk, you are. So you Boule Society members, get out of there. Freemasons, get out of there. They don't have that power. They can't push you all together. And you can turn to looking to Jesus and caring about each other and taking their power away. Well, I'm in North Carolina, a little old town, and here I am, a little old station. Anyway, let y'all know that my broadcasts and Bible studies are also played at John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, and highpointradio.net. And he plays this randomly on his network up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And give him a hand up there, y'all. This, you Yankees up there, help your fellow Yankee guy. Well, I just labeled him, didn't I? I'm joking, sort of. Family, get together. Pull together. Don't give, take away their power. It's not about stopping it because judgment's going to come. It's about focusing on Jesus and witnessing to others. That's what it's all about. So they'll take Jesus as Savior. This is about eternal life. It's not about bringing back the Republic or the democracy or democracy or all that stuff. You never had it in the first place. It's not about the Constitution and all that stuff. It's about worshiping Jesus Christ. It's about your salvation for eternity. That's what it's all about. And everything else to keep you from it. Tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9, more about the end times events. And we'll cover in detail some of those points. Armageddon and et cetera, abomination of desolation and all that. We'll cover it tonight some. Y'all have a good night. Tomorrow, more about feminism and racism. And from there, you go to different areas I'll hit. I just kind of see it's kind of like a hub to discuss what's really going on. Y'all have a good night. God bless. This is The Watchman, signing off.
The room, and Jesus stood before me with his
that was loud. Good night.
Then I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. Every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.